And always I am honored to share another portion of the Word of God with you this evening. Tonight we're going to talk about the subject of boldness. Just remind ourselves of the importance of boldness. I know, looking over my lessons over the past few years, I've noticed that from time to time we've dealt with the subject of boldness and courage in lessons, basically as one of various points associated with various lessons. But it's probably been a while since we've taken the time to specifically consider boldness within itself and the importance of boldness in our lives as Christians. It's one of those qualities that is associated with being different. As we consider the world and we realize that we are to stand out and be different from the world. And sometimes that requires a boldness in our lives. So this evening I just want to talk for a few moments about bold, being bold, and boldness in our lives as Christians. We're going to talk about why and where we need boldness. We're going to look at some examples of boldness in Scriptures because that's a good way to learn. And then just some recommendations toward the end, some things to give consideration that can help us to be bold as God would have us to be. So let's go ahead and get started. And what we want to do, we will begin by, as we typically do in lessons like this, we want to remind ourselves of what we mean by the term bold or boldness. And it indicates the idea of courage. It's associated with courage and it's associated with confidence as we approach God and as we approach others. And in reality, that's simply what you're talking about. It's the idea of when you deal with others that you can be frank with them, especially when you're dealing with something that is unpleasant, unpopular, or has an outcome that is uncertain. Now I want to be clear up front that when I talk about being frank or being bold in dealing with somebody, I'm not talking about being harsh or unkind or some of the other qualities that we find as Christians that are to be a part of our character, our gentleness and meekness and those types of things. We're talking about being firm in our stand for the truth and our willingness to say what we need to say, regardless of the circumstances that we are facing. Or our willingness to stand up and do and be counted regardless of the consequences. And so that's what we're talking about when we deal with the subject of boldness. And it is a term and an idea that is emphasized throughout Scriptures in a number of different ways. The title that I have given for this lesson is actually taken from Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 20 where we find Paul as he's writing to these brethren and encouraging them. And he points out that as he is suffering for the cause of Christ, he's in prison as he writes this letter. And he notes that there are those who are preaching Christ as a result of what he says in a good way, and there are those who are intending to bring harm to him, add affliction to his chains. But he rejoices because the Lord is being preached, and that's what's important. Then in verse 19 he says, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. That's what we mean by boldness. Paul is making the point that whether by life or death, Christ is going to be magnified. And I will boldly proclaim my Lord no matter what happens. That's the point that Paul is making in this text. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse number 13, as Paul begins to bring this letter to its conclusion, he challenges them to watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And while the word boldness is not used there, you've got the idea of being brave and you've got the idea of being strong regardless of what you have to face. That's boldness. as we are talking about boldness. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse number 7, Paul's final letter, as he's writing to Timothy and he begins this particular letter, among the things that he points out to Timothy as he reminds Timothy of the gifts that he has, he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God doesn't want us to be timid. God doesn't want us to be afraid of others when the situation becomes difficult. You know, I know I've said on numerous occasions, you know, it's easy to stand up for what's right when everything's going good. You know, it's easy when you're in a supportive crowd. What about when the going gets tough? What about when it gets difficult? Are you willing to stand up for what's right then? That's when boldness comes into place. When you're willing to stand up and say what needs to be said, even when it's unpleasant and when you're in, for lack of a better term, when you're in hostile territory. When you're in the lair of the enemy, will you boldly stand for what is right? So that's what we talk about when we deal with the subject of boldness. And boldness is something that is needed throughout our lives. It is needed as we defend the truth. As we stand up for that which is right, we need to be bold. In Philippians chapter 1 and in verse number 14, Paul there, as he speaks about these brethren who have been emboldened as a result of what he is going through, he makes that point. Most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And of course, the point that Paul is making there is here you have these brethren who are facing difficulties, who are possibly facing persecution as they stand for the truth. And when they hear that there's somebody else that's willing to do it along with them, when they hear about everything that Paul is going through, it gives them boldness to say, you know what, if he can do it, so can I. If he can stand for the truth and pay a physical price, so can I. And that's the attitude we need to have when it comes to the idea of proclaiming the truth of God's Word. It takes courage to expose error. It takes courage to stand up for right when you are in the midst of those who are wrong and those who are practicing that which is wrong. So we need boldness when it comes to defending the truth. But we also need boldness when it comes to dealing with one another as brethren. You know, especially if you have a brother who is in sin. Going to that brother who is guilty of sin requires boldness. You know, we're told over in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, that if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But when your brother's overtaken in a trespass, go to him. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not always an easy thing to do. Sometimes, more often than we care to realize, when brethren are overtaken in trespass, they don't want to know what's right. And there are many instances where you are going to be going into a hostile environment dealing with somebody that really doesn't want to be corrected. But what do you need to do? You need to correct them anyways. That's how James concludes his letter. In James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, he says, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's why you need to be bold with somebody that's overtaken in error. Jude actually talks about snatching out of the fire some. Save them with fear, snatching them out of the fire. That's the idea of acting boldly, doing what needs to be done to save a soul. Not always pleasant, but yet something that we need to do. Good example of this is over in the book of Galatians. And you find over here in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, that Paul is dealing with Peter. Here you have another apostle, and Paul tells us, when I saw that they were not being straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, if you being a Jew live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? And he's making the point that he withstood Peter to his face in verse number 11 because he was to be blamed. Peter was being hypocritical. Peter was isolating himself from the Gentiles when his Jewish brethren came into his company. And so Paul exposes him, realizing that it's not just you, but others are being carried away, Barnabas as an example, by his hypocrisy. So what did Paul do? He rebuked him to his face. Let me ask you think that was pleasant? Think that was a pleasant thing to do? I mean, who was Peter? Peter, Christian, apostle, elder, among other things. And Paul rebukes him publicly. Because that's what's needed. Friends, that's bold. But sometimes when there's error being taught, it needs to be addressed in that way. So keep that in mind when we think about what our responsibilities are. And when you have brethren that are overtaken in trespasses, with boldness, we need to go to them with the hope that we can snatch them out of the fire and in the end save their soul. That's the purpose. We also need boldness when it comes to dealing with our own struggles. And I'm going to tell you that is something that we need to deal with. You know, admitting that we're weak. That's not always an easy thing to do. But you know, over in James 5 and in verse 16, James tells us, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We need to be willing to acknowledge our weaknesses. And I know that the dynamic that is associated with that, there's a lot of points associated with that and so on. But, you know, I've actually heard individuals make the observation, you know, why don't more people come forward and admit their weaknesses and their sins? And quite honestly, the answer is, I don't know. I mean, it's available. And there's something to be said about that. Are we bold enough to acknowledge that we're struggling with something and we need the brethren to help us? Are we bold enough to ask them to pray for us with whatever it is that we are struggling with? Yes, that takes courage to do that. And it takes boldness to stand up and acknowledge that you're weak and that you're struggling with somebody. And I guess I can look at the other side of that and say, are we bold enough to let somebody acknowledge their weaknesses? Because I think sometimes that's the dynamic that stands in the way. People are afraid, how are my brethren going to view me? And how are they going to react toward me if I admit my weaknesses and my struggles? And we need to be bold enough to let our brethren confess their weaknesses and struggles and not throw them under the rug or throw them under the bus or whatever the description is because they dare to admit that they're struggling with something. We need boldness in dealing with whatever struggles we have. And in addition to that, we need boldness as we approach God. And that's just actually, the way that this is described is as a blessing. This is a blessing that we have as Christians. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. And what you find here is the point is made in this text where it says, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. We have boldness and access through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has made it possible for us to boldly go to God with our struggles. And when you have sins, who do you have to go to and deal with your sins? Well, sometimes it deals with your brethren, but you always have to go to God. And we need to understand that no matter who we are, when we sin, we can go to God. And we can boldly go to God and ask for His forgiveness. We can boldly go to God and ask for His strength and His help in dealing with whatever it is that we are struggling with. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. And that's one of the points that the Hebrew writer emphasizes. Hebrews 4 and in verse number 16. And let's go ahead and start here with verse 14. Where it says here, "Seeing then that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We have an example. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, and He overcame. But you know the point that the Hebrew writer is making there? And don't miss this. Jesus understands. He understands what you're going through. We can't say to God, "But you don't understand because you're up in heaven and we're on the earth." You know, that's one of the things that was removed as an argument when Jesus came to this earth as a man. He emptied Himself. That's what Philippians 2 tells us in about verse 5 and through 11. He became a man, a servant, and was tempted as we are, and yet He overcame sin. There's your boldness. In chapter 13, toward the end of this letter, and in verse number 6, where "let your conduct be without covetousness," verse 5, "be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you,' so that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" Can we boldly say that? What a blessing it is to know that we belong to God, that we are a part of His family. Do we boldly accept that and utilize ourselves with the blessings that are associated with that? So you see there are some areas where boldness is needed. But what about examples of boldness? The Bible is filled with examples of boldness, and we could spend multiple lessons going into detail over some of these. But let me just mention a few of them just for a few moments, just kind of remind us. And I'm probably not going to tell you about anybody that you don't know about already, if you've studied the Bible for any length of time. But let's remind ourselves of boldness. Think about Peter and John. Over in Acts chapter 4, and if you want to read what boldness involves, read the book of Acts. Matter of fact, we're about to start studying the book of Acts in our class. Come to that and you're going to learn about some bold people and some bold actions that took place, some bold things that were said and done as the church was in its infancy. But you find here in Acts chapter 4, and what you have taking place there is in Acts chapter 3, Peter and James are going to the temple and they heal a lame man. He's been lame for years, like 38 years I think it is. And he goes into the temple and he's leaping, and Peter starts to declare, "I didn't do this, Jesus did. And you need to follow Him." And he goes on and he proclaims, "This is the Jesus that you crucified, but God raised from the dead." Well, let's just say the religious leaders were not too impressed with that. And so they come and they take Peter and John and they take them into custody and they bring them before them in the council. And Peter begins to address this council in Acts chapter 4 and beginning in about verse number 5. And let me tell you right now, he doesn't mince words. You know, I mean, when you read some of these sermons in the book of Acts, you know, Peter basically says, "If you want to know what I did it through Jesus. Jesus, who you murdered, but God raised from the dead." And yeah, I'm very loosely paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. He's in the midst of the leaders and he accused them, he pointed to them, and he charged them with putting Jesus to death. He said, "But God raised Him from the dead." Two things that they didn't want to hear. And that's boldness, friends, as you look at that. And you find there in Acts chapter 4 and in verse number 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled." I love this. "And they realized they had been with Jesus." That's where their boldness came from. I want you to think about Peter here for a moment. You know, this is the Peter who, about 2 to 3 months earlier, we don't know exactly how long, but 2 to 3 months earlier, he had denied his Lord 3 times as he was led to the crucifixion. And now look at how boldly he is defending his Lord. That's boldness. And you will continue to see that all through the book of Acts. You go to chapter 5. They are threatened to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. So what do? Well, they go out and they get more people. Because in Acts chapter 5, it's not just Peter and John. It's all the apostles, and they're arrested again. And this time, when they are brought before the council, and there's some miracles that take place, they're arrested and angel comes and releases them, and they go back into the temple, and then they're taken into custody again. And they're warned by the council, "Didn't we tell you to stop preaching in His name?" And the answer that Peter gives there in Acts chapter 5, "We ought to obey God rather than man. You know, I'm not going to listen to you over God." That's a bold statement. And as a result of that, they are released, but before they're released, they're beaten. And what you read about them as they are beaten there is they leave and they rejoice that they are counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. That's boldness you have there, friends. And the persecutions didn't stop them. It was, you know, you use the expression, it's like throwing water or throwing gasoline on a fire. Or telling a dog, sick him. I mean, that's, it just made him more bold. So there's your example of boldness. Another example you might give consideration to, going back to the Old Testament, and again, multitudes of examples. And this is found over here in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And what you have here is you have a Nathan who is a prophet of God. And this is what takes place after David commits this series of sins, starting with lusting over Bathsheba on the rooftop. Then he commits adultery with her, and then he conspires to cover it up. And when that doesn't work, he has Uriah the Hittite killed in battle. So he's guilty of conspiring to murder somebody. All of these sins. And Nathan comes to him and he tells him this story. You know, I've got this problem. He tells it as something that had actually taken place. He talks about this man that was very, very wealthy, and he had all kinds of sheep, and he had everything he wanted. And a traveler comes and visits him, and he has a neighbor who's so poor, all he has is a single ewe lamb. And the rich man takes that ewe lamb and kills that to serve his guest. And David is just angry as he can be about it and said, "As sure as I live, that man's going to die and he's going to restore fourfold what he took." And Nathan, "You are the man." I want you to realize he wasn't just talking to a friend. He was talking to the king. And if you know anything about kings back then, and it hadn't been too long that this isn't true, you made a king angry, that king could do with you whatever he wanted. It was not uncharacteristic for a king to have people executed because they didn't like something that was said to him, even if it was the truth. "You are the man." Of course, David was of a repentant spirit, and David accepts that which is said to him. But the point is look at the boldness of Nathan, the prophet, as he goes to David, the king, and exposes his sins. That's boldness. Well, and that Matthew 10 and verse 28, you know, don't be afraid of him who destroys the body, but can't destroy his soul. Fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul. That's who we need to be fearful of when it comes to this life. Another example that you might be consider of, that you might consider when you're dealing with the subject of a boldness is John the Baptist. And this goes back to Matthew chapter 3. And what you find taking place here is he's preaching in the wilderness and he's baptizing people and many disciples are coming to him and he's actually just preparing them for the coming of Christ. You know, he's not trying to gain a following after him because he thinks he's somebody great. And it's interesting that when the religious leaders start coming out, how does he deal with the religious leaders? Welcome, my friends. You know, glad to have you. Why don't you join us? If you join me, you know, everybody will start following us because you're the leaders. No, that's not what he does. That's not what he is, it, right? What does he say? You brood of vipers. You bunch of poisonous snakes. You need to repent of your corruption. That's boldness. And of course, John, that was what he preached. He preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He was teaching men, you need to repent. The Lord is coming and it's time to change. Repent of your sins was the bold message that John preached. And his boldness didn't end there. You can go to Matthew chapter 14, and this is where you read about the execution of John the Baptist. And you read that John the Baptist is put into prison because he tells the king, it's not lawful for you to have your wife. You're unscripturally married. It's pretty bold to say that, isn't it? And to say that to a leader. And again, Herod, he just has John put in prison. And then, of course, we know about there's an occasion where he has his daughter come and she entertains the crowds dancing for him. And Herod offers her anything that she wants up to half his kingdom. And she goes to her mother, Herodias, who says, give me the head of John the Baptist. John loses his head. He's beheaded because of his boldness in telling the truth. There's an example of boldness. Another example you might give consideration to is Stephen over at Acts chapter 7. Here you have Stephen, who is described as one of the seven who was appointed to help the Hellenistic widows and so on. And he was a man that was described as full of faith, and he was full of the power and of the Holy Spirit. And he's preaching and he's refuting many of the religious leaders, and they can't answer him. So how do they deal with Stephen? They bring up false charges. They find people to say things that were not true about him. And when Stephen is arrested and he's brought before the council, he starts to tell this story, and this is what's recorded in Acts chapter 7. He tells the history. He tells the history of rebellious Israel. And that's really what Acts chapter 7 is about. How over and over and over Israel rebelled against God and the various things that they did against God in rebellion. And then he turns it around toward the end of that and he tells them in the last part of Acts chapter 7, he calls them wicked men. Matter of fact, you find there in verse number 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. You've broken God's laws. You've murdered the Son of God. And how did they react? They became so angry that they took him out. They stoned him to death. Stephen is the first recorded martyr after the beginning of the church in Jerusalem. And it was a result of boldness. Being willing to boldly say what needed to be said regardless of the consequences. Another example of boldness that you might give consideration to, and for this I say just read the rest of the book of Acts. You know, so, you know, starting in about chapter 12, and you actually find in Acts 9 with Paul's conversion. Over and over, as Paul is preaching and teaching, and as he's traveling throughout the empire and establishing churches everywhere he goes, he's bold. He's very bold in many of the things that he says. And you read of a couple of passages over in Acts chapter 14 and in verse number 3 on his first preaching trip. He's with Barnabas and they come to the city of Iconium. And it talks about how the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. And it says in verse 3, therefore they stayed there a long time speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of His grace. They preached boldly, even in hostile circumstances where they had enemies who were trying to resist them, trying to do everything they could to stop them. They continued to boldly preach what needed to be preached. You go over to Acts chapter 19, and you find Paul, this is on his third preaching trip. Toward the early part of that, he goes to Ephesus, where he's actually going to stay for 2 to 3 years. And you find here in chapter 19 and in verse number 8, it says, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And of course, many didn't want to hear it, so he goes out to the school of Tyrannus. He starts teaching there on a daily basis. But he's boldly proclaiming Christ to many who didn't want to accept Jesus as the Messiah. So over and over you find his boldness. And as you read about some of the things that Paul endured, he was stoned and left for dead. And you can go to 2 Corinthians and you can go to Philippians and you can read about the things that he suffered and the things that he gave up. But he never backed down. He just kept boldly proclaiming what needed to be proclaimed. Of course, he wasn't alone. Many who were with him were bold along with him. In Philippi, when Paul was cast into prison, he wasn't alone. Silas was in prison with him. Both of them having been beaten. So you find that boldness with Paul and those who were with him. And that goes back to the letter of Philippians that we read from a few moments ago, how his boldness prompted their boldness in many instances. So you just got a great example of boldness when you look at the life of Paul. And that's why, and you find him never wavering. Over in Acts 21 and in verse 13, this is where he's about to go to Jerusalem toward the end of his third preaching tour. And he's being warned, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be arrested. And Paul says, why are you breaking my heart? I'm willing not only to go and be arrested, I'm willing to die. If that's what it takes. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. You want to talk about boldness. You know, here you have him writing his final letter to Timothy, and what he's going to say in chapter 4, about verses 7 and 8, the time of my departure is at hand. As Paul is writing 2 Timothy, he knows that he's about to die. But you know what his bold proclamation is in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12? He says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. You talk about boldness. Boldness in the face of death. Knowing that everything he's gone through is going to be worth it. Even in his writings. And one example of that in Romans chapter 15 and in verse number 15 you read here, where it talks about it. Paul says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. I'm writing strongly to you in some of these things. When you look at some of the things he said in Romans, some of the things he said in Corinthians, he was bold. You know, Paul is telling Roman Jews, you know what, you think you've got it made? You're just as much a sinner as the Gentiles. That's what chapter 2 is about. And he talks about God cutting them off in chapters 10 and 11, or 9 to 11, that area. God's cut off the Jewish nation because of their rejection of Him. That's bold. He wrote boldly. So there's your boldness. Of course, the ultimate example of boldness is Jesus Christ Himself. And you just see that throughout His life. In the Sermon on the Mount, one of the things I've tried to remind us as we're studying that this year, as we're talking about the teachings of Jesus, it was actually a bold sermon. Many of the things that He taught there, they were things that made His audience uncomfortable. Jesus said, you gotta change. You gotta be willing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. You've gotta be willing to have a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Come Sunday morning, we'll talk about that. That was a bold sermon. That sermon was so bold that as it is brought to its conclusion in chapter 7 and in verse 29, it says that the people were astonished because He taught as one having authority. That was a bold sermon. Jesus cast out the money changers, cleansed the temple at least twice. I mean, you look at the texts that are written that record that, they have to be two separate occasions. One's early, one's at the beginning, and one's at the end of His preaching and teaching. He drives the money changers out because they've corrupted the house of God, and Jesus tells them that. That's the boldness of Jesus. And this is one of those interesting observations to make. If you actually study the Gospels, I want you to notice how as the Gospels progress, the teachings of Jesus get stronger. As he gets closer to the time when He's about to get crucified, His teachings get stronger and stronger and stronger. The message gets more powerful, more direct, more specific, just as the opposition against Him gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Just notice that as you're reading through the text. And look at the way that Jesus says what He says. An example of that. Within a day or two of His execution, you've got Matthew 23. Where He just 10 times calls the religious leaders hypocrites. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Over and over. He's talking to the very ones who want to put Him to death. You think He's pushing some buttons? You think He's being bold because He knows what needs to take place? He is exposing their corruption. That's boldness. And then He boldly went to the cross and died on the cross. And the last thing He said, "It is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit." And He died, knowing that was not the end. Boldness. There's several examples, and I could talk about a bunch more. All throughout Scriptures. Elijah, Moses, various other individuals that were bold. Boldly standing up for what was right. So can we see what is involved in being bold and the importance of boldness in our lives if we want to be pleasing to God? Okay, real quickly as we wrap this lesson up. Okay, I'm not as bold as I ought to be. What can I do to help me become as bold as God would have me to be? Number one, learn from examples. And I want you to realize that more than likely, we're not going to face the types of persecutions that these individuals faced. And I put a caveat on that, and I say yet. Because it's very possible if things keep going the way that they are in this country, it will not be too long before Christians will start losing their freedoms, start losing their resources, and maybe even be put in jail for preaching the truth and standing up for the truth. But we're not there yet. You know what our persecutions consist of now? You may lose a friend. You may lose a job. You may be ridiculed or mocked, made fun of. Something else that's uncomfortable. But how many of us will not even boldly deal with that compared to the people of this world? So understand. Understand God wants you to be bold. And that is what is expected of us. So what are some things that we can do? Number one, and I just want you to mention this, don't mistake boldness for arrogance. Don't mistake boldness for being unkind and thinking that that gives you the right to be hateful in the way that you talk to people. That's not what boldness is. That's being unloving. True boldness is tempered with love. So that's the first thing I want you to understand when you talk about boldness. And all those passages of Scripture that describe the character of a Christian, they need to be there. The next thing I want you to consider is that if you want to build up boldness, build up your faith. The stronger your faith is, the more you trust God, the stronger your convictions are going to be, and the more bold you're going to be in proclaiming that to others because you understand what it means. So strengthen your faith. Learn to trust God. And reach that point where, like Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. That's faith, friends. That's genuine faith. Something else that you can do to strengthen your boldness is keep studying the Word of God. How many of us don't engage in discussions with others about the Word of God because we're afraid they're going to throw out an argument that we can't answer? And let me tell you something. I don't care how much you know and how much studying you do, they may still throw out an argument that you can't answer. Now, that doesn't mean there's not an answer. It just means you've got more to learn. But the point is, how many of us are too timid to confront others and to present the gospel to others because we're afraid of the response? And we're afraid, I just don't know enough. You know what? That excuse is only good for so long. Because like the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 5 and verse 12, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You're not. Is there going to reach a point where God's not going to accept that as a reason anymore? Where it all of a sudden turns from being a reason into an excuse that He's not going to accept? So you build up your understanding in the Word of God. And the more you understand the Word of God, the more confident you're going to be with it. You're not going to be afraid to expose the errors of others. Engage in a discussion with somebody that knocks on your door and tries to hand you Awake, or the Watchtower, or the Book of Mormon. Know the Word of God, and it will give you boldness. In addition to that, just act bold. It's uncomfortable at first, but it's like so many things that are difficult and challenging in life. It's difficult at first, but the more you do it, the easier it becomes. So it's one of those things is do something bold. And the next time it'll be easier to do that. That's one of those things to give consideration to as you think about that. And then finally pray. Pray for boldness. You know, and that goes back to Acts chapter 4 and in verse number 29 and this is after the apostles were released. You know, threatened to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And so what do? They go visit their disciples again, and you read there in verse number 29. It says there, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." They prayed to God, "Give us boldness." And in verse 31, guess what? They have boldness. You know, even Paul himself, and this is Ephesians 6, this is at the conclusion of the armor of God. Paul says you need to pray always, and he says, "I need you to pray for me that I may be bold." Now, this is Paul we're talking about here. And this isn't early on. This is Paul asking others, "Pray for me that I may be bold." Pray for each other. where boldness is concerned. And as you're being bold, and if you're rejected, and rejection keeps people, don't take it personally. And that's another thing we need to realize. How often in Scripture did Jesus warn His disciples, you know what, if they rejected Me, they're going to reject you. But understand, when they reject you, it's not you they're rejecting. It's God. And I think we sometimes need to keep that in our minds. As long as we have a proper attitude, and we have the truth, and we're sharing the truth with love and with proper motives and so on, they reject it. It's not you they're rejecting. It's God they're rejecting. And I tell you what, just do what you can and let God take care of the rest. But don't let that be an excuse for you to not be bold. So let's wrap up this lesson in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse number 17. Turn over there real quick. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse number 17. We strive to be bold in this life. Why? John said in that verse, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness in the day of judgment as we stand before Him. We're bold in this life. We can boldly stand before God with confidence as we face our eternity. What an assurance that is. And may that help us to resolve that we're going to be bold with our faith and in our service to God. Think about it, and the lesson is yours. Open your psalm books now, number 644. Trust and obey. Maybe there's someone here who is in need of responding to the gospel invitation in one way or another. If that is the case, as always, we extend you an opportunity at the end of every service. Be bold and be willing to acknowledge your need for God and whatever it is that needs to change. And let us help you with that in whatever way we can. If you need to obey the gospel, we stand ready to help you become a child of God. If you are a child of God and you just need the prayers of the brethren, we can pray with you and pray for you. So whatever your need is, if you're subject to the invitation, come forward as we stand.